Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your bike, let's...
Hello, 508.
Hello.
Hey, Eunice, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Bad. Not bad.
Not bad?
They had a new addition to the family today, 8 pounds, 3 ounces.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah,
wonderful.
Little girl. Yeah,
oh,
my daughter
great.
Had a little...
That's wonderful.
Hmm?
Your first?
Yeah.
Oh, great. You're going to love this. Your wife's going to spend all your money on clothes. Which is fine, you know?
Yeah, I had to stop in and get something on the way in myself.
Oh, did you? What'd you get?
Yeah, a little shirt that says the prince has finally arrived.
Well, that's true. That is true. You will just love it, though. Wait till you hold them and smell them and, you know, it's amazing. It's totally amazing. You know, it's even better than your own child, because you forget over the years how it was, you know.
Right.
But now you'll just hold this baby and you'll just love it to death. I know she's going to be totally spoiled.
Oh, absolutely.
Totally. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So.
Absolutely. Good job.
Yeah. Yeah. Congratulate your daughter. Good job.
She did
a beautiful job.
Did. They were kind of shocked that I was I held her and got the first fart and a big smile.
Oh God, isn't that
yeah.
wonderful? It certainly is. We've got to learn how to really protect our children.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and our grandchildren.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I wanted to let me get something out of the way real quick.
Okay.
And then we're waiting for Hermes to call. I'm
all
not
right.
sure. And then let me pop these two things out of the way, and then we'll go right into it, okay?
All right, fine. Thank you.
They have NDAA. This is from the Lightning War for Liberty. We can easily forgive a child who is afraid of the dark. The real tragedy of life is when men are afraid of the light. That was by Plato. But despite a mainstream media blackout on the topic, the alternative media is abuzz with this week's hearing on the constitutionality of declaring a constitutional NDAA. In case you don't remember, Section 1021 of the NDAA, which Obama signed into law on December 31st of last year, very quietly he did this, allows the government to lock up U.S. citizens indefinitely without a trial. At the time of the signing, Obama pinned a pathetic letter to many of his outraged supporters who were basically said he signed it but won't use it. Yeah, right. Thanks, pal. In any event, the administration is showing its true colors by appealing an injunction that Judge Catherine Forrest issued against it in May. The injunction was in response to a lawsuit filed by Pulitzer Prize-winning author Chris Hodges and others. While the NDAA, the National Defense, I forget the last two parts of it, I got my mind on what I'm reading here. But clearly vaporized the Fifth, Sixth Amendments of the Constitution. I believe the real target is the First Amendment. By having a law in the books that allows the government to arbitrarily lock anyone up and throw away the key, the government is actually trying to instill enough fear in the people that they self-censor speech and become too afraid to criticize the criminal elite of political and economic... Tangerine Boland is one of the lead plaintiffs in the suit against the government, and she penned a powerful piece from the UK's Guardian. Here's some key quotes. I'm one of the lead plaintiffs in a civil lawsuit against the National Defense Authorization Act, which gives the president the power to hold any U.S. citizen anywhere for as long as he wants without a trial or charge. In a May hearing, Judge Catherine Forrest issued an injunction against it this week. In a final hearing in New York City, U.S. government lawyers asserted even more extreme powers, the right to disregard entirely the judge and the law. On Monday, August 6th, Obama's lawyers filed an appeal to the injunction. Profoundly important development that, as of this writing, has been scarcely reported. George Forrest ruled for a temporary injunction against an unconstitutional provision of this law, after the government attorneys refused to provide assurances to the court that plaintiffs and others would not be indefinitely detained for engaging in First Amendment activities. And they came out with a thing where if Obama or any speaker was having a bad day, say they gave their first speech and they got a lot of heckling and stuff from the crowd,
mm-hmm.
they were going to move the crowd back. And then if the crowd got out of line, they were going to arrest them. First Amendment. At the time, twice the government has refused to define what it means to be an associated force, and it claimed the right to refrain from an offering any clear definition of this term or clear boundaries of power under this law. This past week's hearing was even more terrifying. Government attorneys, again in this hearing, presented no evidence to support their position and brought forth no witnesses. Most incredibly, Obama's attorneys refused to assure the court when it questioned that the NDAA Section 1021, the provision that permits reporters and others who have not committed crimes to be detained without trial. It has not been applied by the U.S. government anywhere in the world after Judge Forrest's injunction. And I can put the link up where you'll get the full article. I'm going to do that right now in the chat room. There we go. Okay. I would like to take the time to watch this short video from one of the co-counsels on the case is exactly what the government is arguing in court. Not a word from the mainstream media on the most important court case in history. One that will decide the fate of the law that will definitely dismantle at least a third of the Bill of Rights. Please make sure everyone that cares about liberty and the republic. So basically, yeah, they're just jacking shit up all over the place. Crazy.
I mean, yeah, sure is. It sure is. Makes you sick, huh?
Oh yeah. This is beyond fucking sick. It's crazy.
It certainly is.
The other one was not. You're gonna hold on to your hat for this one.
Go ahead.
When's the last time you heard the National Weather Service follow up on the Department of Homeland Security's second huge ammo purchase?
Never have. Go ahead.
And today, I just put that link up to read. Federal government is clearly gearing up for the likelihood of civil unrest on a scale that could outstrip what we've already seen in countries across Europe. Hollow point bullets designed to cause maximum organ damage. Why would the National Weather Service need to purchase large quantities of powerful ammo? That's the question many were asking after a federal agency followed in the footsteps of the Department of Homeland Security in putting out a solicitation for 46,000 rounds of hollow point bullets. The solicitation appears on the FedBizOps website, asked for 16,000 rounds of 40 Smith & Wesson jacketed hollow point bullets noted for their strength to be delivered to locations in Ellsworth, Maine, and New Bedford, Mass. A further 6,000 rounds of the same ammo, Smith & Wesson, jacketed hollow points, will be sent to Wall, New Jersey, with another 24,000 rounds of the same bullets heading to the weather station in St. Petersburg, Florida. The solicitation asked for 500 paper targets to be delivered to the same locations in Maine, Massachusetts, and New Jersey. The National Weather Service is one of six scientific agencies that make up the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. NOAA, as is known by people in the shipping industry. The solicitation requires a response by August 21st. The National Weather Service is following a federal counterpart, the Department of Homeland Security, in large quantities of ammo. Back in March, Homeland Security purchased 450 million rounds of 40 caliber hollow point bullets that are designed to expand upon entry and cause maximum organ damage, prompting questions as why the Department of Homeland Security needed such a large amount of powerful bullets for merely training purposes. As the Business Insider notes, hollow point bullets have been illegal in international warfare since 1899. The Department of Homeland Security is planning to purchase a further 750 million rounds of different types of ammo in separate solicitation that expires on August 20th, including 357 mag rounds that are able to penetrate walls. They recently put out an order for riot gear in preparation of the upcoming Democratic National Convention, Republican National Convention, and presidential inauguration. The U.S. Army is also busy buying similar equipment. Homeland Security also recently purchased a number of bulletproof checkpoint booths that made stop-and-go lights. That includes stop-and-go lights. The federal government is clearly gearing up for the likelihood of civil unrest on a scale that could outstrip what we've already seen in countries across Europe. While the establishment demonizes the Second Amendment in light of recent mass shootings and legislation prepared to ban the sale of large quantities of ammo online, the federal government is acquiring ammunition at levels necessary to fight a full-scale domestic war. And I talked about that before, because out here on Camp Pendleton, they trained three military MP battalions for urban warfare. In other words, they just trained a bunch of policemen to go out and arrest people. Getting weirder by the fucking day.
It is.
Some people are having trouble logging in, some aren't. I guess they didn't like the topic we were going to talk about tonight, and they're jacking with us already.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Well, that's too bad.
Let me see who this is right here. Hold on one second. Hello, 561. Did you want to talk or just listen? 561?
That's Florida. It's got to be Jack.
Okay.
Hi, Jack.
I'll leave you unmuted. Oh, okay. Hello, Jack. This is Philip. Fortunately, Bill on Tuesdays takes his mom and his wife to the doctor, so he won't be able to join us tonight. But I have two other callers. Let me bring them on. 508.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
I am okay. How are you?
Good. Not bad. Happy camper. I just got through holding my granddaughter a little while ago.
That is awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
She's beautiful.
Yeah, it was. As soon as I picked her up, she made the connection because she farted in my hand and smiled at me afterwards.
That's great. That's great. You said one of the ports was New Bedford, Mass. Is that what you said?
Yes.
On that article, that's like maybe 20 minutes away from me. It's a good-sized fishing port. It mostly consists of, like, scallop fishermen and, like, several other kinds of fish that are native to this area. But there's an old, like, naval-style academy up that way. But that's kind of creepy with the whole hollow point thing going on. I know, like, in that general direction, there's a lot of violence, there's a lot of stuff that goes on. But I mean, not for that type of ammunition. They're looking to, like, shut things down. I mean, if you're dealing with that type of stuff, you know, what are they actually getting at? And that concerns me because, you know, that's 20 minutes away from me. So.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's getting worse by the day.
You know, at first when I was listening to you, we've got great white sharks in the area. And call it global warming, call it whatever you want to call it, the waterways have warmed up a lot more towards this end in New England. And the seal population has become real big. And at first I was going to, you know, throw in a joke that maybe they need that to blast all the great whites that are, you know, chomping their way through the beach grounds, because we did have somebody get bit. But then, you know, you look at it on a larger scale and you say, what the fuck, you know? That's some serious stuff. Serious stuff. You gotta wonder, you know, what the intent is behind it.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, like I said, that, you know, I had some guys come back from Afghanistan up north in Sacramento area, and they were National Guard guys, and they had them all out on the tarmac, and they still had all their gear. They just got off the plane. They still had all their gear and everything, and they got them all in a group, and they had them all lined up, and the guy asked them, would you have a problem shooting American citizens? Needless to say, they're all under arrest right now, facing charges, because they put their weapons on the ground and backed up and said no. So they got them for not following a direct order when all you did was ask a question.
I think dark days are approaching, call it whatever you want to, whether you look at history repeating itself or you go into a biblical aspect or you go into like some ancient prediction somewhere, you know. I mean, the world is messed up, and the people that lead the other people, their agenda is just not, you know, for the people. They're for themselves, and people need to be awake and look around them and smarten up a little bit, and, you know, instead of cowering down and saying it's not my business, therefore it doesn't concern me, maybe they need to make it their business a little bit and find out, you know, what the hell is going on.
Well, yeah, and the one of the reasons I told Eunice that I would appreciate her calling in, and Hermes, and we have Jack from Florida. Laura's in the queue, but she's going to listen for now. You're on the phone, Stacy. And
awesome.
You can say hello to Jack and Eunice.
Hey, Jack. Hey, Eunice. This is Stacy sitting on the Massachusetts and Rhode Island line.
That's where we're from, too.
Oh, nice.
I'm from Massachusetts.
Oh, nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And what Eunice is calling in about, and I'm sure Jack is going to chime in with her, and once I see Hermes, we'll get him unmuted. But they're calling in about Massachusetts House Bill 4329, which hold on to your chair, Stacy, because you have children, I have children, and this just bugs the shit out of me. But this bill is to hold pedophiles, rapists, sexual predators, and destroyers of children's lives, and countless family lives. Because I guess this bill was in, it just languished in the House for, like, 10 years, Eunice?
Almost 11. 11
almost
years 11. To get it out of the Judiciary Committee.
Wow.
It was heart-wrenching. It really was. A lot of hard work from a lot of people. We finally got it to the Senate. Well, we got it to the House. The House changed wording in there to still protect non-profitable organizations from being sued. By sheer luck, I was able to get the bill and brought it with the help of Carmen Dersel and Mitch and Garabedian. We got it. It went to the Senate, and we were able to get some senators to really listen to us. And they didn't like the wording either. So it's gone into a committee, but we're promised that it will pass. And thank God, because it's been a long, long time. And Stacy, you know, I had a child raped 32 years ago, and it's taken me all this time and a hard fight to make things right. And a lot of good people have worked on this, and you know, it was a long day, the 31st of July, believe me, a long, long day, and Hermes was with us. And I had a meltdown the next day, Phil, because I said, Finally, after all this time. I don't know why people would be upset that we're discussing this, Phil. Sometimes people just want to put blinders on and they don't want to recognize
because to me, I mean, I went to Catholic school when I was a kid. I got asked, my parents got asked to enroll me in another, the priest, I didn't get along with the priest at the high school I was at. But, yeah, there was a lot of shit going on when I was a kid, but nobody talked about it. You know,
no.
to me it was like America's little secret. Dirty
yep.
Actually, America's
yep.
dirty secret.
And that's exactly what it was. And, you know, and I have to say it, it's just not the Catholic Church. It's every organization that was protected, you know, down the road. And now they can't be protected. I mean, we have the Corey law that everybody has to be checked out, but sometimes it's done and sometimes it's not. And you know, if you know, people can't relate to looking at a picture of a child when they were raped and a grown adult. But thank God we have something that protects us as we're growing up. And that's what's happened to a lot of people. And people don't realize that some have committed suicide over this.
Right.
Have committed suicide. And a lot of people think it's, well, they just want the money. It has nothing to do with money. It has to do with justice. And people ask me all the time, you're still a Catholic. Of course I'm still a Catholic. God didn't want this. You know, you have to blame the people who were in charge and the person that did it.
Right.
And that's what you have to do. And a lot of our lawmakers want to protect, you know, non-profitable organizations. They have lobbyists. You can ask Kermis. When we were there 31st, there must have been 10, 12 of the lobbyists fighting for this bill not to pass. They were upset. They were upset.
Uh-huh.
I never seen lobbyists stay that late to see what the hell was going on, because they were almost positive that they had it in their pocket. And of course, they didn't. And thank God that we had some good senators in there that finally really got it, that we've got to protect our kids.
Uh-huh.
And I used to be so proud of being from Massachusetts, because we used to be the top dog in protecting children.
Right.
And we're not anymore. And we're
And I've heard that enough in the last couple of weeks to believe that now.
Yep.
Good job, Eunice.
You know, and it's so true, Jack, you know. And it's Jack knows me from Florida, and I do things down there too, but this has been, if I do anything right in my lifetime, it's going to be to protect our children in this world, not just in Massachusetts, in this world. It needs it. We need to protect them. And why people are afraid to talk about it, I don't know. I mean, you said you were getting flack because we were going to talk about this tonight.
The flack I'm getting is they're messing with the server again. I got them at bay from trying to play songs, but they're not letting some people sign in.
Yeah, they were messing with you the other night too, Thursday night.
Yeah, they did.
They do the
same thing to Hermes, but he doesn't talk about it as much as I do. I think they're a bunch of pussies hiding behind a keyboard that all they got to do is just fucking leave it alone. We're not doing anything bad.
See, we never realized. I never realized how powerful the Catholic Church is. I mean, powerful. Totally powerful. You know, and why wouldn't... I mean, this has been going on thousands of years. I mean, thousands of years, and it was never talked about. But you never talked about any of this stuff, and it was just nobody knew what pedophilia was.
No,
nobody knew what it was until the late 80s. You know,
we just had a guy. We had a guy here in North County where I live. He got 450 years for molesting his two daughters. One, they started on one at 5 and then the other one at 5.
Well, you know, that's the sad part. That
yeah.
it did happen back then. And, you know, I just don't understand people sometimes. I really don't. I mean, everybody in this world has had to have a child, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Why wouldn't you want to protect them? Why wouldn't you want to fight for them?
Yeah.
I don't understand it. You know, I really, really don't. But who am I? You know, I'm just a mother and a grandmother and a great-grandmother. And, God, you know, who would want this?
You're a powerful voice speaking out on behalf of so many people that maybe don't have the courage or whatnot to speak on what they feel. And, you know, you're paving the ground, or so to say, placing each stone in place, you know, so people that, you know, are around for this to happen, you know, their lives might change for the better. And, you know, that's a very powerful thing. And I can't thank you enough.
Well, you know something? I have been going to the Judiciary Committee for a long, long time. And you see district attorneys, you know, the attorney general. You see lawyers and everybody getting up there with briefcases full of material. And I have yet ever to bring a piece of paper with me when I go before that committee. Because it comes from the heart.
Right.
I want this so bad for everybody. I want everybody to be protected. And you know, it's not just the child. You know, I mean, that's the worst part of the whole thing. But it's like a ripple. It's like it just ripples down to the siblings and anybody real close to the situation, because the personalities change so much.
Right.
It's many hours of therapy. And you know, and what I say, the best therapy is taking it from somebody that's gone through it. You have psychologists, psychiatrists that tell you, hey, you know, this is the way you should treat it. And I don't know if we had mentioned it, so maybe I shouldn't, but 2 years after my youngest son was molested by a priest, my oldest boy was murdered. And his wife brought him back to the church, which we had left when this happened to my son. And we walked in, and the priest turned around, and it was the priest that had molested my son.
I remember you saying something about that.
Yeah. Now, you take that apple and try to bite it, you know?
Right.
Which I didn't. But,
No, you gave him a few choice. Remember, right?
Yep. You know, I mean, that bishops made promises to me many a times. Never kept them. But see, I wasn't afraid to go back. And my old saying has always been, I've always said it, I don't care who the person is. You might be the green grass right now, but I'm going to be the fucking lawnmower.
Yeah. And I was trying to remember what you say any better than that.
This Massachusetts area, I'm not sure what part you're from, but the area I'm at, like, is right on the direct coastline, and there's a large, predominantly Catholic faith. There's a lot of Portuguese people, and they're Catholic, And I've gotten asked that myself a couple of times. I'm Catholic. I'm French Catholic. But they've asked me, you know, why do you stay Catholic? And I'm like, my faith and what I believe in is not the problem. The problem is the internal bullshit that has become more political than faith is. And, you know, you can't mock me for being Catholic. I haven't done anything wrong, but what needs to be done is the system needs to be corrected, and people
right.
need to be held accountable, and, you know, things need to be redone, and people need to be able to heal. But, you know, as for my faith, I will always be and stay Catholic, because that has, you know, nothing to do with
That has nothing to do with pedophilia internally.
Right, exactly.
Right.
You know,
it's the people that are in charge that have allowed it to go on, and
exactly.
the persons that do it.
And they people in regular society are held accountable for, you know, all their actions. And just because it involves the Catholic Church, which is its own society within itself,
right.
you know, doesn't mean that they can get out from under the thumb. You know, I mean, the poor people that are suffering, who were the victims of these attacks by priests, you know, they need some closure. They need some justification, because, like you were saying, during that time, which was like when my mom was a kid, she's like 66, 67, you know, she even said it, you just didn't discuss that topic, and God forbid you ever came home and said a priest touched you, you might get smacked yourself. Because
oh, yeah.
you know, that was just uncalled for. You know, you didn't talk bad about your family neighborhood priest, and that was it. You know, so I totally, totally can understand what you were saying earlier. Absolutely.
Well, you know, the whole thing is
area.
You had your doctors, your teachers, your priests, your rabbis. They were above us during that era. And,
yep.
you know, so you just never talked about them. And
right.
that's why, and when I say it, I mean even fathers, even stepfathers, you know, have abused. But in Massachusetts alone, 350 children a day are being sexually abused.
Yeah.
Now, why our representatives and why our senators are doing a good job, but it was a fight, you know?
Right.
Why would they want to protect people? You know, that's always been my thing. Why would they want to protect them? We do have some senators that are really fighting it now, and they assure us it's what they want. They want this bill to be right so these people aren't protected anymore.
Right.
But I'll tell you, And you know, if everybody around the whole world, Phil,
yeah.
that have children, no matter what nationality they are, no matter what religion they are, if they started fighting to protect their kids, wouldn't this be a better world?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's sad when animals take care of their young better than human beings. They don't
you know?
Let nothing hurt their children, you know, but us. In society, you know, people, again, you know, they don't want to get involved. It's, I didn't see nothing, I didn't hear nothing, you know, and it's always the innocent that get hurt, and mainly that is children.
They put blinders on.
Yeah.
Where's
exactly.
Hermes? Hermes, help.
Not here yet.
Is he here yet?
I'm not here yet.
Ah. He's hiding on us.
Well,
I'm sorry you got flack about this, Phil.
Oh, no,
you know,
I'm not.
You know,
I'm not.
You know, I see, I don't understand stuff like that, and I should. I mean, everybody's totally different, you know, and that's the good thing. I'm different, aren't I, Jack?
Oh, yeah.
Jack, am I different? Yeah, Jack's going to tell you I'm different. I can't wait to get back, Jack.
I'm sure
Jack's
he'll be back
very,
soon.
Yeah, Jack's a very dear friend of mine, Phil.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have a lot of good friends down in Florida.
You got a good friend right there? Somebody's got
you know
a good friend.
Yeah, that's my neighbor's dog, man. She's got three Great Danes. They're huge.
Yeah.
I'm sitting out on the back deck.
That's unconditional love right there, let me tell you.
Yeah. They're beautiful dogs, but they're huge.
Yeah.
We got another caller. This is Nora out of Chicago. Hello, Nora.
Hi, how are you? Hi, Eunice.
Good.
Hi, Stacey. Hi, Phil.
Hey.
And Jack, is it?
Hey.
Yeah, hi.
Okay. I went to a Catholic school. I never heard of anything that took place. I don't know if it just wasn't talked about or maybe it was the oddest school and nothing ever took place. I don't know. I've heard your story. I understand exactly where you're at and the fight that you've had to do. I agree. I don't know how I would feel in regards with the church itself after everything. I find it appalling. It's disgusting. I don't care if it's a child, if it's an adult, it's still a violation. Now, most normal people, we do whatever we take to protect our children, our grandchildren, and so on. That is how we were raised to be, and that is what we do. And not only our children, but if they have their friends over, we watch somebody else's children to make sure nothing happens. I can't imagine the scar that is going to be forever with your son.
He's doing wonderful.
I mean, you know, thank God if it's with therapy, whatever got him to a place where he's better at in his mind. But a lot of people are not that lucky, you know.
Oh, I know that.
I've talked with more people that have been violated by rape, not by the church. But in a sense, it's kind of the same. It's still you're violated, okay?
No matter girl, boy.
Exactly. And it takes a tremendous amount of patience and time to get through it all. To where you can become a better person and place in life. I believe in the battle that you've done. You've come so far. I don't know how many people or any of us would have done it. I'm sure here on the panel, I know all of us would have gone to the same limit and beyond as you have.
It's not just me that has done it. Please let me clarify. A number of wonderful people have fought this battle just as hard as I have. I've just done it a little bit longer. And, you know, but wonderful people here in Massachusetts has fought. Carmen Dursel, Mitchell Garabedian, who are the top lawyers that have fought the church and like I try to say, it has nothing to do with the money. It really hasn't.
Right.
It's that they have to be accountable, and it was a cover up for so long. I'm talking hundreds of years, you know. And they were able to do it because they had the money and the power to do it.
But you have to understand, that's what they do, you know.
Yep.
Anytime we go to church, the collection basket comes around. Okay, so money is funded to keep it tightly whipped, okay? They don't want to talk about it. They don't want it brought out in public. There have been cases since I'm here in Illinois on the south side of Chicago. There's places in Chicago throughout the years where cases have come up of abuse from priests to children. You know, very public, very, you know, publicized. I don't know in regards to what the outcomes were. They tried to do everything hush-hush under the table so it's not put out there openly any longer than what it was. Okay. Eunice, anyone else that has been involved in this battle, okay, some have gone quiet, dealt with it behind doors, so to say. Others have gone public and really did their either way you're fighting, okay. But the unfortunate thing is there are some people that have gone through this that don't come back in regards to their proper mental states from being abused, you know.
Well, I think when it's a long, long time, and I'll share this with you. I was a child, very, very young, and we had been sexually abused. And it was something that I used to dream of, a big gorilla chasing me, this girl, little girl with pigtails, and never could figure out what it was until I was 48 years old, and I finally figured it out. So I think maybe that's why when this happened to my son that I was more aware of it, and I was going to make sure that he was going to get every possible help that I could get for him so he would not have gone through what I went through.
Right.
You know, and I told him every single day that I loved him and it wasn't his fault.
Right.
You know. And the sad part is that this priest broke bread at my house.
Wow.
He was in charge of the youth at the church. And back then, who are you going to trust?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know. And
who do you go to without somebody looking at you and thinking that you're a crazy person?
Well, let me tell you, they thought I was a crazy person back then.
Right.
Went to the police and they, oh God, a priest? Oh my God, we could never, oh my God, what are you talking about? Please, oh no, get out of here. So then you go to the bishop and you demand, and you don't meet with him at the diocese, you meet with him and with the psychologist. And then 2 years later, we were promised that this guy would get help, and, you know, he would never be around children, and of course we had left that church, and then 2 years later when I'm burying my oldest boy, he's there.
Oh.
So it's I think you get angry enough that you say, no, it's this bullshit's
enough,
not stopping
enough.
Here.
Right.
Yeah, it's not stopping here. And you just get more stronger and more angrier, and you got to try to right the wrong. And you know something? It would have been so much easier if the church had just said, we're sorry.
Right.
Let's work together.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
That would be admitting guilt.
The proper...
Hello?
Yeah,
right,
this is Philip. That would be that they're admitting guilt.
Well, you know, so we're all guilty of something, aren't we, Philip?
Absolutely.
You know, none of us are perfect, and we're never going to be perfect.
Okay.
But you got to right the wrong.
I'm guilty of more good times in Mexico than a guy should be. Than the guy should be having.
You know, but you know, let's make it clear, though, Philip. It's not just the church. Believe it or not. You know, I mean, we just had a doctor up here, you know. I mean, doctors and a tennis player, a professional tennis player, you know. I mean, it's unbelievable they come out. they come out.
But,
we
it,
had
but
a,
it's
a,
in
that,
all kinds. I'm
yes. Kidding. Yeah, so the bill's not just about
the church.
Catholic Church. It's
right.
about pedophilia.
In
and
general.
Making them serve time, you know. And,
I know.
And we've got to protect the kids. We've got to, you know. Not just in Massachusetts. I mean, the whole world.
Everywhere, yeah. I mean,
and people just sit back and not do it. You know, people put blinders on. And it's really sad because you know why? People don't get involved, including myself, unless it happens in your family. And I'm talking about sickness, you know, cancer,
right.
Children that are born mentally retarded, you know. You don't get involved in that until it happens in your family.
Right.
Right.
You know, so that's the sad part. That's
well,
the sad part.
You know, the thing is, what I learned, because I was abused, no, not by a church, but what I did is, with my children, I was... not like a tight noose on them, but I was very aware. I knew where pedophiles
right.
were in the town I live in. I kept them away, you know,
mm-hmm.
From the vicinity of where they lived. You know, it was you check in with me. I don't care if you think I'm a crazy person. Nothing's going to happen to you. That has happened to me in my past. Unfortunately, I was... You know, it hasn't happened. But I was
well, you can
determined.
Get on the computer, you know.
Oh, I
and
know.
And find out how many are in your area.
Oh, I already know. There's 13 in my town. But there's
in
a town not far from me. There's 250 in a town not far from me. That's
those are the ones that are registered.
Those are the ones that are registered. And in that one particular town, that's one every 3 to 4 houses, there is a pedophile. Anywhere from the age of 18 and under and 18 and up.
Unbelievable.
That is disgusting. It's a town. 250 of them. It's disgusting.
Yep. Certainly it is. In a 5-mile radius around my house, is 178.
Wow.
I had
isn't that
one
amazing?
A couple I had one a couple years ago that lived next door to me. I'm in a home, but it's like a one level apartment building on the other side of my property line. For the age of 18 and under. I saw that man outside one day. I went up to him. I said, "You come anywhere near my daughter, there's going to be a problem. I know who you are."
Yeah, but see, if you did something to him, you know who's going to end up in jail, right?
Oh, I am. Well, I know. But you know what?
Yeah.
For my kids, I would have.
Yeah.
That's being the parent I am. I
yeah.
didn't care. Nobody was going to touch him. Nobody was going to violate him. You know?
Yep.
I know that's not right. But being a parent, you
no, it is right. You
your children.
Always protect your kids.
Exactly.
Always.
You know, I don't care what the circumstances are. You know, I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not.
I remember my daughter had
always...
a paper route. She had a paper route, and she come home really shaken one day, and I said to her, "What's the matter?" You know, and she says, "Some guy tried to grab me into this particular business." I says, "Oh, really?" She says, "Yeah." I says, "Well, come with me." So I had a baseball bat with a rod up the middle of it. I went down, and he says, "I was only kidding." I says, "So am I." And I broke his shoulder.
Wow.
Wow.
Before they grabbed the bat from me, you know. But, I mean, you do it. You know, I mean, it's just unheard of, you know.
My youngest daughter was 14. I was cutting the front grass. I live on Main Street that goes through town. Traffic was backed up. some 20-something-year-old kid was gawking at my daughter, saying how hot she was. She got scared. You know, I shut the mower off. I'm like, what's the matter? You know, and she's like, she pointed to the man's car. She's like, that guy said it was hot. I'm like, he said what? I went into the garage. I grabbed the baseball bat and went down the driveway. I said, you said what about my kid? You know, he couldn't move fast enough. I was, no, it's not happening. No. And this is my baby, you know. Not happening.
Right. Yeah, well, the
you
neighborhood.
Still with us, Jack?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. You're not falling asleep, are you?
Not yet.
Oh, okay. You'll let me know, right?
No, stand by.
Okay.
I just applaud you for the courage that you had to do what you've done. I applaud you for that. I really do.
Thank you.
And not a lot of parents don't want it to be hurt. They're embarrassed, you know.
Well, it's not embarrassment. It's hard for a lot of parents, and I've met a lot of them. It's hard for a lot of parents to even discuss it. They don't know how to deal with it. So you can't blame the parents. You have parents now that get out there and hold their child's picture up. You know, I mean, it's they just didn't know how to handle it.
Right. A lot of parents
I got a message from Herman Eunice. He just woke up.
Oh, okay. That's
better late than never.
Yeah.
No,
well,
he said he had a killer headache.
He's a tremendous guy. He's done a lot of fighting, Phil, you know. He's been...
Hermes is...
He's a good
man.
There?
Yeah. Hermes, are you there? Hey,
yeah.
Can you hear me?
Hi,
yeah.
Hermes.
I can hear you.
Hey, Hermes. What's going
on, man?
I'll tell you, I'm sorry I'm late. I just got up. I had a killer headache, man. I don't know how the hell that happened. I was out and about running errands all day. I had a headache all goddamn day.
It was the humidity, man.
It could be, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell it was, but I know I don't get headaches often, man. I'm like a little bitch when I get a headache. I'm like a little baby. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry to be here late. What's going on, folks? How's everything going?
Everything's
hey,
good. We're just talking about the bill and personal experiences from some of the callers. And we have Eunice. We have Jack. We have Stacy, and we have Nora.
Hello.
Then we have you.
Awesome. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi, Hermes.
Hello.
I just got to tell you where I went tonight, Hermes.
Yeah, go ahead.
I went down to the city council meeting.
Oh, did you?
Yes. Yeah. So
city manager, were you talking about taking away the cars to guys that did pick up prostitutes?
I didn't mean to talk about that, Hermes. Yeah. You know how his look is what in the hell is she doing here? Something must be wrong.
Yeah. What'd you do?
I had to tell you that, you know. I had to tell you that.
What'd you do? Did you do anything? Did you cause any trouble down there tonight?
Who, me? I never caused trouble. I never caused trouble. I don't cause trouble.
Bringing up his new move. He wants the city council to approve him going to the legislature to try to come up with a law to take away the automobiles of guys that pick up prostitutes. You know what a fucking idiot he is, huh?
Yeah.
My God.
Ridiculous. Hermes, say hi to Jack. He's a friend of mine in Florida.
I'm Jack. Hi, Hermes.
That's right.
Hey, nice to talk to you, Jack. Yeah.
Nice talking to you.
Hey, Jack, have you seen the video that I put up there that Eunice talked me into going to a news conference in 2007 in Boston, and I videotaped it and I put it together and threw it up on YouTube there. I don't know. I think yesterday or the day before. Have you been able to see that one yet?
No, I didn't get a chance to see it. Eunice had mentioned something about YouTube, but no, I don't have. I don't know. Eunice send me a link, or you send me a link, I'll be happy to look at it.
I'm going to try to put it in the chat room right now. Are you in the chat room?
No. I'm actually just listening on the telephone.
All right, here's what you do. It's easy enough. If you go to Blog Talk, if you go to YouTube, put in youtube.com/MassYankFan, MassYankFan, like Massachusetts Yankees fan, and that'll bring you right to my page. It'll be the very top. It'll be the very top video.
YouTube.com/ what came after that?
Mass Yank Fan. MassYankFan. Philip, did you get a chance to see that one yet?
No, I didn't, Hermes, and I can't do it right now, but I will look at it.
Okay. All right. You should check that out. That's pretty good that there's actually a priest on there that was abused by a priest.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. How do you like that? He's quite a lineup of folks that Eunice turned me on to. I mean, I was blown away by what I've been hearing and seeing and what's been revealed to me ever since Eunice was kind enough to point me in this direction. And Eunice has done an awful lot of big work. I'm not sure what you guys have covered yet for ground, but she's done a lot of really tough work in this area. And it's been a personal thing of hers as well. And everybody on that video that speaks, except with I think the two attorneys at the end who have been very successful in gaining millions upon millions of dollars from the Catholic Church for victims. I think everybody else that has spoke there was actually a victim of clergy sexual abuse. But you should really check that out, that video, because I get to add my own two cents in, you know, since I edit it and everything. I always put my own two cents in there.
Oh, I know you do.
And that's made me a home favorite with the diocese around here. Right, Eunice?
Yep.
Hey, it's okay. I'm a home favorite in my town, too.
I hear you, brother. I hear you. What's going on, brother?
Same. Just my daughter had an 8-pound, 3-ounce baby girl at 1:30 this morning.
Her name is... Congratulations.
Thank you. Her name is Jalen. And when I went to, my daughter handed her to me, and she christened my hand with a fart and then smiled at me.
Yeah, and that's about what it's going to be like from there on out, brother.
Hey, Phil, do you have a 610 there?
Yes.
I'll call her in.
Who's that?
Sandy. Sandy.
Who?
Sandy. You going to answer, Sandy?
She's not here.
Oh, did she hang up?
No, she wasn't here.
Oh, you didn't have a 610 there?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he said no. I think he said no, and you probably heard what you wanted to hear over there. Eunice, clear your ears out, girl.
You know me. You know me. I hear what I want to hear.
Yeah.
You know me.
I know.
I'll tell you, Phil, this guy has just been, I don't want to make his head explode a little bit more, but really,
I'm
going to
tell you something.
Me.
I'm going to tell you something, Eunice. I spent a few days with Hermes not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And besides ironing his fucking clothes, he's...
Say that again. You were ironing his clothes. I just want to clarify the factor.
Oh, yeah.
He was ironing his... we went to go meet him to go out, and actually we had to wait because he stood there in a pair of boxers with an ironing board and an iron to iron his clothes.
Oh, that's familiar.
Hermes, you rock.
I hear you.
The only one that irons is dungarees.
That's right. I do. I iron dungarees, too.
Yep, I know.
I love it.
That's
I know.
Go and hang out with all those big bikers, big badass bikers. I'm the only one with pressed jeans.
People have heard me tell
you up this way, Phil?
Pardon me?
You were up this way? Oh, what was that, on one of the bike rides?
Yeah, that was when we were in Tennessee. But
these
guys picked me up at the airport in Hermes's car. And I'm standing on the curb. I just came out the doors. I'm standing on the curb. I was smoking a cigarette waiting for him. And then they rolled up, and all I heard when the door opened was, look at that fucking guy's tan. Well, I knew they were jealous from the start.
Oh yeah.
Well, that's true.
That's
you
because
know.
And
you
know, shit coming from the West Coast. We're over here and it was shitty weather. It was all gray and rainy and awful. He gets
love
off
Massachusetts.
The plane. Yeah.
Well,
that's
why.
Right.
That's why I go to Florida every year. See.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'll be out of here in September.
Yeah, Phil, Eunice got a place down here in Florida. She's living like a queen down here.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. She's the big queen bee down there.
No, I'm not, am I, Jack?
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, you are.
She's the queen bee down there.
Well, my husband worked very hard, Hermes, and I'm very lucky that I have a husband like that.
You got a great
husband.
Yeah.
Paul's a good
man.
Know.
Paul's a damn good man.
Yeah, he certainly is. He's
worked hard all his life. He's earned everything you guys got, you earned, both of you, and nobody gave you nothing.
No, I know that.
So,
but
you know,
it's...
You enjoy yourselves. You enjoy yourselves. You know, who knows what you got left? Probably another 100 years or 10 years or 3 years, whatever it is. You just enjoy yourselves. Now you paid your dues.
Hey, listen, Hermes. I almost didn't make it in 2008, remember?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. Mm.
Yep. But the man said, hey, can't take her up here because she's just going to disrupt it up here, too. So let's leave it down there.
Yeah.
That's just what he said.
Yeah, that guy's got enough on his hands right now. People talking about Obama and how he's fucked up this country. Well, I'll tell you what, God better get on his shit because he's let things get slipped totally out of fucking control too, you know what I'm saying? He better wake the fuck up and start doing something about the shit down here because this shit's ugly down here. You know?
Well, I hope with all my heart that happens. But we put
that
a little dent in it anyways, the 31st, didn't we, Hermes? We put a little dent in it.
I'm waiting for that call to get back up there soon to see the big
show. Yeah. Tell them what Carmen, said about everybody crossing their legs.
Yeah. Well, hey, Eunice.
What?
Did you realize that your buddy, your good friend, and my good friend, of course, he says he likes me and he talks to me, but when I turn around, he gives me the finger. Johnny, the hell, Benenda, did you know that the day we were up there, he passed out at the State House? I'm talking about a state representative who happens to be a chair on a very powerful committee at the State House.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big fan of mine. And he'd like to be able to push me in front of a truck if he could. But you know what they're saying, Eunice, that he passed out in an elevator there and they took him to the hospital that night we were there. And that's
really?
A fact. Yeah, oh
wow.
Yeah. But they're blaming his sugar diabetes and I've been telling the people the truth. The truth is he heard I was in the building and he fucking almost had a heart attack and died.
That was the truth.
He just got
that, that happened
today
to the chief of police when I walked through the front door.
He just got out of the hospital today, Eunice, I heard on the news.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I was very tired that night, Phil, so they got me a chair. Everybody else had to stand up.
Yeah, she got a chair put out in the middle of the hallway. Nobody gets to sit out in the middle of the hallway. See, we're the taxpayers, Phil. You know about that game, right?
Right.
We're the taxpayers. We own that building, right? And they make us stand in the hallway like a bunch of fucking slaves. They won't even let you sit down. You know what I mean? But
right.
they brought her a chair. Yeah, they brought her a chair. They go into their offices and shit, right, with their secretaries that we pay for, drinking the coffee that we pay for, and they leave us in hallways like a bunch of fucking slaves. They won't even let us sit down. That's what we get, the taxpayers here.
Of course.
All right, sat down.
Yep, we sure
yep.
do.
Yeah. And
but
I get
like
all over them about that.
But it's like I say, Hermes, if you bend over once, you're going to bend over twice.
Well, that's the thing. You know how I am, Phil. You know how that goes with me, and I put them in their place every opportunity I get. And I got to tell you something. Honestly, I wish I could say that I felt bad for the guy when I heard he fucking fell out in the elevator. But I'm honest. I mean, sometimes people don't like honesty. But the first thought that came to my mind is, God, please kill the bastard. Yeah, kill the bastard. But, he's still around. He's still around. Let's do that.
You got any, I met you at the train station. I was just going into Boston. I think that was in 2001.
That's right.
That was,
that's
yep.
right.
2001.
What the hell was I doing there?
I don't know. I think you were drumming up or trying to pick somebody up. I don't know. But I think you were telling me about you wanted to get on, you know, have your own show and everything like that. And I says, well, you know, let me know. You asked me what I was doing. I says I was going in, and we talked a little bit about it, you know.
Well, I started getting the show together, and when you told me what you were doing, I wanted you to come on the show.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And we did it at the house first, didn't we? I can't remember.
No, the first show you did, you came into the TV studio.
Oh, okay.
And then we did a
yep.
show. Then we did one at the house.
Yeah.
And then we did the infamous show at the church.
Right. Right.
With the bishop speaking and you
yes.
speaking. Right?
Yes.
And then my ad lib and my graphics in there. And
right.
You know, we did this. Eunice was allowed to speak in the church about sexual clergy sexual abuse. I never thought they'd let her do it, but they did. And then she asked me if they did. She said to me, "Hermes, would you videotape it?" I said, "Look, and I said that piece of shit ain't gonna let you videotape them." You know. She goes, "If I can get it done, will you do it?" I said, "Sure. Yeah, I will." And I walked away from that saying, "Fuck that. That'll never happen." Sure enough. Let me tell you something, Phil. She must have pictures of our bishop taking in every goddamn hole in his body from all kinds of different barn animals because he approved it. I mean, and when he did, I mean, you know, I couldn't help myself. I ad-libbed, you know what I mean? And Eunice was in Florida living like the queen that she is down there, and the diocese called her, and they I guess they had some things to say about the way I did the show, and because Eunice called me and said, "What the hell did you do?" I said, "Nothing. I didn't do anything."
Yeah, I just got an instant message that somebody put out that said it's very interesting to listen to the show. Greetings from Germany.
All yeah, right. She's a friend of mine.
Oh. All right, Germany. Germany's
and
in the
house. She's a friend of mine. She's 8 hours ahead of us. So
yeah,
it's 3 hours of the morning. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the time difference is a killer, and I love it when people do that. Thank you for
right.
being here, Germany.
Thank you.
It's good. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
So, well, anyway, Philip, this lady's been through and what she's been through in her life and still up fighting the way she's fighting,
She has my respect, because I'll tell you something. I'd have killed me a couple of those son of a bitches already. That's no bullshit.
Yeah, but then you would have had to go to jail.
Well, you don't. Not everybody that kills somebody goes to jail.
Well,
don't ever make that mistake and believe that. Don't make that mistake and believe that. The people that go to jail when they do something like that, whether it's killing someone or just beating them to near death, are the people that do it in a manner that they just, you know, they're asking to get caught, or they flip out on the spot, you know. But let me tell you something. Very few people actually go to jail for killing people. They're just the ones that actually, like, you know, just like snap, like a jealous husband or the guy that lost his job and there's been too much pressure on him, and I just wish I could have some kind of a control of those people that are going to snap and kill people in big numbers.
I'm here to tell you that Homeland Security just bought 450 million more rounds of Smith & Wesson's Full Metal Jackets.
Yeah, fuck them. They can buy all they want.
They brought it to New Bedford, Hermes. That stuff into New Bedford.
Oh, that's good. Listen, New Bedford needs all the help they can get. So if they're bringing it in ships and getting paid for it, fine. Because the unemployment rate in New Bedford is like fucking 12%. So they could use every dime they can get their hands on. What I'm saying is, if these people that are gonna snap and can't handle life anymore and are gonna go out and kill numbers, people in large numbers, there are places where they could go do that and be of great service to the human race. Instead of just killing innocent people, you know what I mean? Really, if you know, I don't advocate people really going and doing that. But if you're going to do it, and your heart's sold on it, and you're really going to do that, well, you know, take a good look around. There are some places where you could really be of some service to people if you wiped out a room full of, you know, people that are fucking the average taxpayers. You know, I guess if you're going to do something like that. But you know, that other senseless shit, I don't get. I don't get that at all. But that's just my opinion, you know.
And I agree with you.
Hmm. Yeah, that's just my opinion. And, of course, my opinion doesn't mean a whole lot of anything to anybody, so.
That's not true.
But anyway.
Yes, it does, Hermes. The more people than you know.
Yeah.
Well,
he knows. He knows.
One of the things and I have to excuse myself because I'm eating a bowl of ice cream here while I'm talking to you. And I'm really sorry about that, but it seems to be helping with the headache going away. Honestly, with the cold.
What kind?
Right now, it's a chocolate with little chips of it's chocolate ice cream with chips of chocolate in it, but also walnuts.
Oh, that sounds awesome!
That sounds really good.
Yeah, there you go. Everybody wants them now.
Yeah, well, I got in my pajamas before I called in.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Are you gonna dance around for Paul?
Well, no, I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
Hey, Phil.
Not tonight.
Sorry.
Huh?
Phil?
Yes.
Can you do me a favor and explain to my friend Gerlinda how to log in to the page? Because she's not sure how to do it, and I've tried to tell her how to do it.
Well, what page is she trying to log into?
The page with the chat.
All she has to do is scroll down to where it says join the chat and click on that link. And it'll open up in another window.
Because
I'm talking with her on Skype, so... Well, not typing, not physically talking.
So we don't have too many listeners? Is that what you're saying, Philip?
No, they're there. They're having a hard time getting into the chat room because the fucking powers that be just don't like the topic of our discussion tonight, which I'm trying to keep them at bay, and it's kind of working out, and it kind of isn't.
Oh, that's too bad.
Well, that happens with any kind of show like this particular, Phil's show. My show has been met with some serious interruptions by Block Talk or
a third party that it, that Block Talk allows to get into the
Correct.
System. To the point where I had to actually get a, and I've said this before, and it's fact. It's fact. I had to get a lawyer, and we had a conference call with the owner of Block Talk, and we told him straight out, if this persists, then you're going to have to explain yourself to United States District Judge. I mean, you know, call's yours, man. You know what I mean? So things have gotten better since then. But just to let you know that true to the American way of doing business, the first thing Blog Talk did was tell my lawyer they had no idea that I was experiencing any problems because I never filled out a ticket, which is what they call a ticket, which is like a complaint form, a sheet or whatever, or an order, a request order, or a PO order, whatever you want to call it. And my lawyer called me back and he said, hey, they said they have no idea. The guy told me you never filed a ticket. I goes, really? I says, well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to send you over copies of all the tickets that I filed that were answered by him and his staff, and you tell me if I had. So that when we did have the conversation on conference call, he had like 200 and honestly, to like 250 some and six or something pages of complaints of the last 2 years that I had sent to them, and most of them, by the way, that were answered by the guy that said he wasn't aware there was a problem. So that's their position. That was their position to start the conversation, and then you know. Me being me, I just stepped right in here and said, hey, you know, bullshit. How am I supposed to get, you want me, you know, how am I supposed to get advertisers? How am I supposed to get everything if you keep knocking my show off the air?
Right. I did the same thing to me. I said I got copies of all the tickets.
Right. So the bottom line is, you know, I'm willing to fight for my freedom of speech, physically or in court, either way. Because it's been fought for already by many men and women that have given their lives, and many have survived but have given their limbs. Phil is a veteran, and any veteran that's ever served in the armed forces has guaranteed me and everybody else in this country the rights that we have, and nobody's just going to come by and fucking take that shit from me. I have too much respect for the men and women that put their lives on the line for it, and if they can do that in some far off country, then God damn it, I can do it here. I can take that stand here.
Right.
And, you know what I'm saying, Phil? So that's the deal there. And you know what? At the end of the day, like they like to say in court, at the end of the day, let us say that by some coincidence or something, that an organization that was trying to prevent you from using your freedom of speech, you sued them and brought them to court. By the time you got to the Supreme Court, and even if they shot you down at the Supreme Court, does anybody have any idea what that would cost that company in terms of dollars just to defend? It's a lot of fucking money, you know. So,
yeah.
You know, I don't think most companies want to get into that, especially if they're trying to grow their company. You don't want to be paying your legal staff $1 million to defend you. And then looking like a, you know, looking like a shitbag company for, because you're actually trying to keep an American from expressing his or her opinions. So that's
exactly.
Not good for business.
No, it's not.
I was telling Phil Hermes about the lobbyists that were sitting behind us.
Oh yeah, Phil, they look like a bunch of little douchebags in suits. Douchebags in suits. Now, these are the people that are there to try to make sure that the douchebags on the floor downstairs, which would be the Senate, that they're trying to make sure that they pass legislation to fuck over children.
Wow.
So that they can save a dollar because they don't want to pay the damages. You know, and instead of going to the problem and cleaning house, you know, like, whether it's the Catholic Church or whether it's Penn State University, wherever it is, instead of going right to the problem and gutting it out like a fucking cancer, you know, they want to fuck the children. They're okay with the children's lives being destroyed for the rest of their lives in their families just to save a dollar. Yeah, that's what those maggots are. That's what a lobbyist is. Maggot.
Well said.
You know, so I have no respect for those maggots, none of them. I have no respect for those son of a bitches that call themselves the Massachusetts Senate. None of them. Not one of them. Because they've been sitting on this bill for 10 fucking years. What
but
kind
it
of
wasn't
adult?
The Senate.
Yeah, well, no, the House and the Senate. That what the Senate did at the last minute, although, you know, you're going to get some kind of a bill signed, all right? I know what the fuck they did, and I called the shot, Eunice, before they even did it. I says, if they don't kill it, they're going to wait till like 11:30 to pass it, and at 12 o'clock, it's the last day of the session. They can't do anything after midnight. So what they did was, to appease you and everybody else, is what we'll do is we'll just amend it. We'll change it. Knowing that if they change the bill, don't forget, this isn't their first night at work there. This is what they do for a living. Knowing that if they change the bill, it can't get passed because it has to go back to the House. At 10 o'clock, it's got to go back to the House at 10 o'clock. The House is already working on a bunch of bills, and they're not going to take that one up right away and say, listen, we voted to pass this bill, but not in this form. So now they're going to have to get together again and vote on whether or not they'll pass it now. They know exactly what they're doing. They're kicking the football all over the field.
Right.
And so I have no respect for those maggots. 10 years, a bill sits up there that will protect children from fucking sexual predators, and these fucking bastards got the balls to stand up and pound their chest and say, we helped pass this 10 years later? Get the fuck out of here. They should all be in prison, too.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I feel like.
They should all be in prison and have a guy named Bubba there as their cellmate. We got another call from Florida. Hold on a second.
Yep.
561. Did you want to talk or just listen? 561? 632?
I'm listening.
Okay.
I'm listening.
Hi, Bill.
There you go. That's cool. You get calls. See, Phil, that's a feature that irks me on this blog talk where people do. That's a good feature to have. People can listen on their phone. The feature
right.
that I'm thinking it's missing is like that the service doesn't let you know that person just wants to listen. But
right.
Well,
when you call in,
it says to press one. The service says
right.
press 1 if you
right.
want to get in. I haven't pressed 1 yet.
No, but and they give you the option that if you want to talk to the host, press 1, I guess it is, and then you press that number. Then they give you another
yeah.
option if you just want to listen, press 2, I think it is, or whatever. And I think that's
I didn't
the
do
one.
That.
Huh?
They didn't ask me about 2.
Oh, they didn't. Oh, okay. Well, see, they're changing things around.
One thing I'm glad it didn't. One thing I was happy about, it didn't say press 1 for Spanish.
Oh, good. Well, you know what? That's a good thing because that's a good thing because you'd have to understand Spanish, I think, to press 1. Usually, in the beginning, over here in Massachusetts, they have a lot of that stuff that'll say they'll talk first in Spanish. The recording will talk first in Spanish and say, you know, for English, press 1. Of Spanish press 2, and it's like, you know, listen, I'm Spanish, all right? I'm Spanish, but there's no reason why you should have that. Let me tell you something. If you want to live here, you should at least learn the language. I believe that. And I'm Spanish, all right? If you want to live here, you should learn the language. You know, if we go to Europe, we got to learn whatever language is being spoken in whatever part of Europe we're in. They don't stop everything they're doing and change their way of life just because a few Americans come over, and we don't make them. We don't try to make them change their languages. I don't understand why everybody comes from everywhere and wants us to do everything their way, you know, use their language, you know, fucking use their fucking religions. And if I want to use my religion, it's like, no, you can't do that anymore because, see, we're here, and you're insensitive to our religions. Well, I got news for all of them. Fuck you and your religion. Go back to where you came from if you don't like the way we do things here. Period. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So,
well, actually, I was thinking they should say, press dos.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Yeah. I love that one.
that's cool, man. That's good. That's
and
good.
And then I'll respond by saying, uno momento.
it's beautiful. I love it.
Another friend of mine from Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, how about this, though? Let me, I don't know, I don't want to really change the topic, but I got to ask this question, Phil. I hope you don't mind. I want your input on it, Phil. As a matter of fact, I want your input, too. Our Vice President, Joe Biden, today, I'm sure everybody's heard by now, he was speaking to a group of people, and I think he was in Florida. I think he was in Florida. I could be wrong. It was Virginia. Virginia. And he said, in his little speech, he said that if Romney was elected president, that he said just like this, he'll have y'all back in chains. Now, he was talking about slavery to a group of that was predominantly, from what I understand, like about 80% black folks. And that's the way he spoke. And nobody had a problem with it. I don't have a fucking problem with it. But, I mean, I suppose if I was black, I might have a problem with it. But, you know, so now that's the big thing out there today in the political world. It's not hunger. It's not the lack of jobs in this country. You know, it's not the infiltration of different religions and different people that hate our fucking guts. They want to kill us, but we're supposed to treat them with respect. It's none of that. It's that the vice president said that Romney wants to put slaves back in chains. It's like nobody's really like paying attention, or nobody's really doing anything.
You know what he's referring to?
Yes, I think I do. What do you think?
What do you think it is? I have my own thought, but what do you think?
I think he's talking about the middle. Well, what he says is he wants them to perceive that the middle class will be locked into chains. They'll be slaves if Mitt Romney is elected president. Back when George Bush Jr., the little guy, George W., was running for president, when he first ran against McCain in the primary back then, I told my girlfriend back then, I says, if this guy gets in, this Bush, I says, this is going to be the beginning of this entire country being slaves. We're not too far from that right now. And it doesn't matter which one gets in there. I got news for everybody. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's Obama, Clinton, Bush. It don't matter. You know, the game plan is drawn up, you know, plain and simple. And whoever's ever asked into that
what?
Seat is going
to
follow.
When you're a slave, that means you don't make any decisions.
Right? Imagine that.
Well, I don't see where we're even close to that.
What, making no decisions?
Yeah, I mean, we're closer to that with Obama than anybody else.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I thought he was referring to Romney. Romney wants to reform the welfare law.
Yeah.
He's tired of having generation after generation living off welfare, and they've never even worked in their life.
No.
And what he wants these people working, or at least making some kind of attempt to work, rather than just giving them welfare.
The only problem with that way is that there are no jobs in the country. So, you know, if it were me and I wanted to, if I was going to run for president and had a shot in hell, all right, that would mean that I would have to be as deceptive and as downright ugly as the people that run for president. And that means being a liar. That means being beholden to the big corporations. Well, I think that what I would do is myself is kind of skirt around those issues and not really talk about those too much until I got into office, and then do what I wanted to do with them. Because one of the problems in this country is we have way more poor people than we do rich people. So when the poor people are being told, like they are daily now, that if Romney gets in, you're fucked. All right, you're going to have no Medicare, you're going to have no welfare, you're going to have nothing. All right, this is what they're being told, and they're scared. because they got just about nothing now. So, you know, with a candidate that's up here saying, I want to retool welfare, you got the other side saying, what he means by that is he's going to take it all away from you. And people respond to fear. This country, the people in this country have been responding to that kind of fear for the last 100 years. It works. I don't know how the fuck it works. I don't understand why people fall for that bullshit, but it works. And so you'll get more poor people running to the polls to make sure that that guy ain't taking away their Medicaid or Medicare, whatever it is, and their food stamps and their welfare. And so, you know, I hate to say it, man, but unless Romney pulls some kind of a magic rabbit out of his ass, we're probably headed for 4 more years of Obama, and that I do not want to see. Believe me, I don't want to see that.
You don't want to see it, and I don't want to see it, but
he's leading in the polls. People are hypnotized by a handout.
It's true.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people knock Bush, but, you know, Bush, he got people off of welfare and got them working by setting up programs. He did a great job on it. You know, one way that they could carry out what Romney's talking about is, you know, the government gives child care assistance to these people that get jobs. Well, these people that are on welfare that can't get jobs could then go work at the child care centers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Even if it was just part-time, so they would be earning part of their welfare check. Yeah, I mean,
exactly.
There are ways you can get creative.
Right.
Exactly.
But, Bill, we're never going to see that in our time.
There was a 22-year-old kid killed in Detroit, okay? He was getting... He had like 17 kids with 7 different women. He was getting $13,522 a month in welfare.
Get out of here.
He drove a brand new fucking Mercedes. Living like a king in a big house with the 7 women and all the kids and collecting a fucking check. And when he got shot, he was doing a drug deal when he got shot.
I hate to laugh, but I mean, how nuts is that? The guy's making that kind of money,
and he's out doing a drug deal.
He was doing a drug deal when he got shot. Did he get killed?
Yeah.
Oh, he was killed.
Yeah, he was killed.
And the state probably paid to bury him.
And the checks didn't stop either.
Oh my God!
That's amazing. That's incredible. The kids were all wearing Michael Jordan sneakers.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Expensive. Yeah, exactly. Oh my God! Hey Phil, I gotta ask you a question, Phil. On your page here that I'm looking at on the Bikers of America, the Phil and Bill Show,
right.
Blog Talk, it says on air, 24 hours, 27 minutes remaining. What is that?
I'm not sure about that. They might have tried to knock me off the air, and that would be the next show, which would be Thursday.
No, it says on air now. You're on air right now. It says on air. Next to it on the right-hand side. Let me know if anybody else sees this. There's, in red writing, it says 24 hours is abbreviated, 26 minutes remaining. So now, what do you got, like a half hour left for your show?
No,
yes.
What's that? Oh, I was going to say what that means is the show has so many minutes remaining, and then it's 24 hours, and then you'll be able to click on that link to rehear the show that we're on tonight.
Hear that show we're on tonight a half hour after.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know. That's how I took it at first.
No.
It says 24 hours, 26 minutes remaining. I thought you were having a fucking marathon show. 24 hours, 26 minutes. I don't even know how to get on it, Phil.
So, I tell
you, brother, I love you, man, but I can't be sitting here talking for the next 24 hours with you, bro. I got shit to do.
What I was telling you, Hermes, is if you go over, you can go over up to an hour after.
Yeah, you were telling me that. I've never done that. Now, let me ask you this. That doesn't go live, right? It just records, right?
It just records, but everybody that you're talking to on the phone is going to be recorded.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Oh, yeah, okay. So then when they come back and listen to the show later, they can hear that stuff. I got you. Okay.
It's kind of like the rebuttal time.
Yeah, okay. Gotcha. So how's things been going?
How long have you been doing
the show?
Pardon me?
How's things been going with you guys with the show?
Everything's good. You know, Bill's wife has diabetes and MS, and his mom's getting up in years. She's 85 now. And, she just went in to have a cataract surgery, and it was her birthday, and they wanted to do the surgery on her birthday, and she told them no, she didn't want to do it. She wanted to make sure that she went and had dinner when was able to see everybody for dinner in case something happened and the surgery didn't work out. So now I think she's getting it today or tomorrow. But I know he takes his wife to the doctor on Tuesdays and his mother in the morning, his mother's in the afternoon.
Yeah, I know it. I was visiting my mom today in the facility there. I hate to see them, my mom and dad in a facility, but they need the constant care, you know, someone around them constantly. And that's the other thing. It's like nobody in my family up until like recently now, we didn't put our aging people in rest homes. We took care of them.
Yeah. Right.
It's just that the powers that be, the people that we elect to put in office to represent us and make sure nobody abuses us and steals our money. Well, they abuse us and steal our money. And then they make it so that everybody in the family has to work just to survive, and we can't take care of the people that took care of us and raised us unless you're independently wealthy.
Exactly.
And there's very few of those people around.
Well, I wasn't
even
wealthy.
Wealthy folks don't want to give their fucking hard-earned money to some fucking, extended care facility, you know. It's just incredible. Every time I go up there, I'm reminded about how bad medicine is in this country now. And it's just going to get worse. I don't care which one of them fucking bozos gets in. It's going to get worse. Because the insurance industry has so much clout because of the money they pass around. They get things their way. And we've lost, there's so few Americans left that have a nutsack, we're fucked. We are fucked.
Well, something there, Mr. I've come to believe that my age, I am not going to get upset over this election because you want to know something? It's not a goddamn thing I can do about it.
Right.
No, but see, there is something you could do about it. It sounds far-fetched. It sounds crazy. It sounds like insane, but there's a lot we can do. A lot.
Right. Because to me, if you don't vote, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, right. And the other thing is, Americans have become so fearful of losing whatever little bit they might have that they really never own anyway. Because if you really believe you own your house, stop paying the taxes on it and see how fucking long you own it.
Exactly.
Exactly. If you have a car and you bought it cash, I don't give a fuck if it's a $10 car or $1 million, and you paid cash for it, stop paying the excise fucking bill in taxes and see how long you own that fucking thing too. Alright. You don't own nothing here in this country. Nobody's free in this country. It's an illusion. And we bought the illusion.
Yeah.
And we're paying
the
price for buying the illusion. But
there's
a lot
paying your registration fees.
Yeah, you can't pay. Listen, you can't to own a dog, you gotta have a license for a fucking dog, okay? So it's like, Americans, there's a lot that can be done, but nobody's willing to take the risk. And it's sad because this country was founded on risk takers.
Yes,
this country was, right? Am I right? This country, unless what they taught us in school is a crock of shit, all of it, then, this country was founded on brave men and women standing up to the oppressors, right? And power never has been given. Power has always been taken. So if the people want to take this country back, they're going to have to take it back, because the people that are in power now ain't going to give it to us.
Nope.
The people in power now have got so much money, you know. You tell me how to fight it, and I'll fight it.
Well, you know what? That's our money.
Yeah, I know it's our money.
Okay? That's our money. And to put it, and let me put it to you this way, all right? Because you have to be careful on what you say today, because we really don't have freedom of speech, because what they do is they twist our words against us to use them against us, all right?
Yes,
so there really is no freedom of speech, all right? So, you know, in public forums like this, all you can do is suggest to people to use their minds and get creative again. It doesn't take an awful lot to figure out what you can do about it, all right? Most people want to be told what they can do about it because they're afraid of the truth. They see the truth and they say, Jesus Christ, the only way out of this is to do this. And fuck, I don't want to do that. So we'll find someone that'll tell me a different way to do it. The bottom line is, you know how you get rid of an abuser? Because that's what these people are. You're sexual predators, right? Now, I think all sexual predators, right, should be fucking castrated and then hung in public. That's my opinion, right? Now, that's how you get rid of the fucks. You don't get rid of the fucks by babying them and giving them probation and putting them back out on the street because another judge or several judges happen to be fucking predators themselves. You find them, you get them out in the open, and you fucking do away with them, period. That's how you get rid of abusers, right? The bully in the schoolyard. The bully in the schoolyard, how do you get him to go away? He doesn't go away till you give him a beating. Once he gets his fucking beating, he gets the message and he leaves you alone, right? That's the only way to deal with abusers. That's it. There is no other way.
Well, let me tell you this, Herman.
What's that? I got
this the other day, and it's pretty interesting. The salary of a retired U.S. president is $180,000 for life. The salary of a House or state representative is $134,000 for life. The Speaker of the House gets $223,500 for life. This is stupid salary. The salary of a majority or minority leaders is $193,400 for life. The average salary of a soldier deployed in Afghanistan is $38,000.
They're trying to take that away.
I think if we found where the cuts should be made.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. However, nobody's demanding from them. Nobody's making any noise. Nobody's standing up to them. Nobody's in their fucking face about it. And that's why they get away with it.
Well, the guy with all the money in the world said he could end the deficit in 5 minutes, he told CNBC. He just passed a law that says anytime there's a deficit of more than 3% gross domestic product, all sitting members of Congress are eligible for re-election. The 26th Amendment granting the right to vote for 18-year-olds only took 3 months and 8 days to be ratified. Why? Simple.
Mm-hmm.
People demanded it. 1971. Before computers, email, cell phones, etc. Seven amendments. Constitution. Seven took 1 year or less to become law of the land. All because of public pressure. Warren Buffett is asking each addressee to forward this email a minimum of 20 people on their address list. In 3 days, the most people in the United States of America will have the message. This is one idea that really should be passed. The Congressional Reform Act of 2012. No tenure, no pension. A congresswoman collects a salary while in office and receives no pay when they're out of office. Congress, past, present, and future participates in Social Security. All the funds in the Congressional Retirement Fund move to the Social Security system immediately. All future funds flow into the Social Security system, participates with the American people. It may not be used for any other purpose. Congress can purchase all their own retirement plans just as Americans do. Congress will no longer vote themselves a pay raise, congressional pay raise by lower than 3%. Congress loses their current health care system and participates in the same health care system as the American people. Congress may equally abide by all laws they impose on the American people. All contracts with past and present congressmen, congresswomen are void, effective 12-1-12. The American people did not make this contract with congressmen or women. Congress made all these contracts for themselves. Serving in Congress is an honor, not a career. The founding fathers envisioned citizen legislators, so ours should serve their terms, then go home and go back to work. If each person contacts a minimum of 20 people, it will take only 3 days for most people in the U.S. to receive this message. Don't you think it's time? This is how to fix Congress.
Now, Philip, here's where that could happen, right? But here's the reality of the situation. When you start talking about, not you personally, that person saying forward it to at least 20 people and have those people forward it to at least 20 people, even if you got that to happen, right, less than a fucking percent of the people would do anything about it. Now, that's where the main problem is. See, Americans are not only fucking lazy, okay? This is why the rest of the world has advanced on us and has taken us over. It's taken us over. Whoever fucking thought to see the day we're borrowing money from the chinks, borrowing the richest country in the world, borrowing money from fucking the red Soviet chinks. Get the fuck out of here. That's what we're doing. Now,
that's because
Americans are not only fucking lazy, we're fucking fearful little puke bags. We're frightened in a corner, and we don't stand up, and we don't take these motherfuckers on. That's why we're in the position we're in. You can have all the Barack Obamas you want. You can have all the Hitlers you want. You can have all the anybody coming up. And you know what? If the people don't tolerate it, and if the people stand up to them and take them out if they gotta, that's how it ends. Again, power is never fucking given. It's always taken. And if you think these people are going to give up anything that they've got over there on their own, man, you guys are sadly mistaken. Sadly mistaken. And they do what they do because they can, because the American public does not stand up to them. They don't stand up to them. So, Facebook, for instance, right? Facebook, you're on Facebook, right?
Yeah.
All right. Many of us are on Facebook, right? We reach a lot of people on Facebook, a few thousand people, whatever we reach, right? Altogether, we might reach more, all right? Because several people listening in tonight are on Facebook, all right? Everybody claims to be friends on Facebook, right? You put out an SOS for help on Facebook. If you send it to 1,000 people, maybe fucking 7 will respond. Maybe 7 will respond, right? Maybe. But you can see everybody posting on Facebook. Everybody. Everybody's posting. We've had enough of this shit. This government, this fucking sucks. This fucking... But you know what? That's all they'll fucking do is post something on fucking Facebook. They ain't going
to
get out of
there.
How can you do anything about it?
No, and it's to me, like I said earlier, it's just like if you don't vote, shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
if you're not
going
to do anything about it, shut the fuck up.
The ones that bitch the most are the ones that don't vote.
Well, you know what? You know what? Even people that vote, I got news for you. I vote. I mean, even people that vote, all right? It's not enough. It's not enough. Because we vote for people and we tell them, listen, this is what we want you to do, and they do the opposite. What are we doing to hold them accountable?
Nothing.
So if we're talking about abusers here, these people are fucking abusers. They go off and they meet and they have these luncheons and shit and they have cocktails and they laugh at us. They fucking laugh at us. All right? And then they bring us, and if we want something done, we put it through a form of a bill at our state house or even in Washington, D.C., right? And then they kick it around, they take their time with it, they fucking laugh at us. You know what should happen to people laughing at the American taxpayers? You know what should be happening to the people laughing at the American taxpayer, the people who built this country? At the very least, they should get a slap in the fucking face and a kick in their fucking nuts. That's at the very least. Now, say what you will. You can talk bullshit all you want, but you grab a motherfucker by the throat and pound on him, you got their attention. You got their fucking attention. And they're going to stop doing what the fuck they're doing that made you do that to them. So that voting shit ain't enough. You're dealing with an abuser, there's only one fucking way to deal with the abuser. And if people aren't ready to deal with the abusers, then shut the fuck up, every one of us, and just fucking be led down the fucking path.
That's it. It's like I said, if you deserve what you tolerate.
And that's another country heard from right here. So, and, but you know something? Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind at some point, because of the way I do my show, that at some point they're going to kick my door and say, all right, we've had enough of you. I don't doubt that at all.
I'm not
looking forward to it. I don't do my show for that. I do my show to exercise my freedom of speech and try to wake people the fuck up. Americans, wake the fuck up.
You know, it's just like me. You know, I got them guys that park out in front of my house when I do the show.
And you know what, Phil? Here's the thing, Phil. Even with people that say they love the show, even with people that say, yeah, we want to listen to Phil, we want to listen to Phil and Bill, they put it out there the way it is. We want to listen to Hermes, they put it out there the way it is. You know what? They shut us down, they take us out of it, and guess what? Those motherfuckers ain't going to do shit, Phil. Not them.
No.
They're going to go back
home.
Bill and I
got taken off the radio for talking about overthrowing foreign countries.
Yep. I got thrown off that 50,000-watt radio station for covering a motorcycle case.
Right.
All right? I mean, freedom of speech, right? They threw me off the fucking radio, a 50,000-watt radio station. There's your freedom of speech.
Exactly.
Right?
You know, the
Nobody
guy told us, well, don't you know that some of those companies are owned by China? And I said,
yeah.
And? Well, you guys, when we started this, you guys told us you could do whatever you want. You know, good luck, and then boom.
I hear you. There's somebody in there by the name in the chat room, Dirty White Redneck. I hear you, man. I hear those comments you're posting in there. I hear you. I hear you 100% there. 100% with you on those comments, my brother. If you're a guy, if not my sister. If you're a woman, I don't know. This is Dirty White Redneck. I hear you. Those comments are right on there, brother. Yeah, that's the deal. And if people are not ready, because let me tell you something, they're not only preparing, they're teasing, they're tormenting, they're poking, they're fucking with us.
Hey, it's a gentleman, Herman.
Okay, all right. Yeah, so it's a guy. All right, thank you, my friend down there. Thank you. I say down there because if you say Dirty White Redneck, I assume you're in the South because. We don't have any kind of rednecks up here that I'm aware of. We're up north, whether they're dirty white ones or dirty black ones or whatever. But thank you for your comments. But it's true. I mean, you know, people are frustrated. I'm not the only one frustrated. This is my country. I love my country. I love my fucking country. I love the fact that we have a constitution that's been in place for an awful long time by people that drafted that constitution. That, by the way, are smarter than any one of those fuckheads we have in office today. These people were, back then, the drafters of these important documents, they were business people. They were people that were wealthy, but yet they had the morality, they had the humanity, they had the wisdom to lay it down for all, to be treated all equally, to give everybody a fair shake at the same time.
Right, he's in Atlanta.
Atlanta. All right, I hear you. Atlanta. All right. But, you know, that's and these folks, Phil, let me throw something to you here and to all your listeners. Let me get your feedback on this. The Supreme Court, not too long ago, was allowed to stop using their wigs. Now, remember the Supreme Court used to wear those white wigs?
Right.
And people will say, like, all right, what the fuck's this guy, nuts? Well, think about this, all right? Think about this. Throughout history, all courts, the Supreme Court was the last one to do away with it, but all courts, the judges and the magistrates wore wigs. They were generally white wigs.
They still do that in Canada and England, I understand.
Well, you know what? There's something to that, because when you sit, wherever you are, whether you have a Harley Davidson hat on or whether you have an Eskimo hat on, you know you have something on your head. You can feel the hat. Well, the wigs were worn to remind the person that was ruling on cases affecting the masses that they were supposed to be concentrating on the good for all, okay? And that's how the Supreme Court would behave whenever they came across issues, right,
generally, right up until they started taking the wigs off, they ruled in favor of the masses of the people. They were on the side of, you know, no illegal search and seizure. Even if they caught you with 10 bodies and 100 kilos, if they didn't have a fucking warrant, guess what? You're just as dirty as he is. You did it the wrong way. You know the law. You're supposed to know the law. You're the police. Fuck you out of here. He goes free. All right? Now, and that's to teach a lesson to the people that think that they can just break down your door and take your shit. But when they stop using that fucking wig, it's like, all right, we don't have to. We're not restricted. There's no restriction there.
No, so I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you a quick story. One of the people I know had I had a little problem. Bill and I. Bill had to go testify in court, and he kind of took over the courtroom when Bill's got a command presence sometimes, and when he got in the jury box, he grabbed a chair and he moved it around, and Bill's got long legs. So the judge asked him, is there a problem? He said, yeah. He said, my legs are too long. He said, I got to move the chair to get comfortable, and everybody giggled. So he's 2-3 minutes, he's messing around with the chair. He sits down, he moves it again, he stands up, you know. Finally, are you comfortable now? Oh, yes, I'm very comfortable now. So they asked him the questions about what was going on and everything, and they dismissed him. So on the way out, there's 5 lawyers sitting at the table for the prosecutors. And 5 lawyers sitting for the defense guys. So Bill leans into the defense guys because he knows the prosecutors aren't going to talk to him. And he says, hey, can I ask you guys a question? You guys said, sure. He said, when I took the oath and I had to raise my right hand and everybody raised their right hands, how come you didn't raise your guy? You guys didn't raise your right hand. He said, Bill, you expect lawyers to tell the truth?
No, they can't. They can't. I got to tell you, they can't. You know why? Even if they wanted to, it's not a place for the truth. The courtroom is not a place for the truth. I had a lawyer years ago that something took place, and I was at home. I was legitimately at home, honestly, right? And I knew everybody involved, and they lugged me into the fray, and the lawyer says to me, all right, you gotta have an alibi. What are we going to use for an alibi? And I says, Jesus Christ, I was at home. I was at home. And he said to me, you know what? He says, I believe you were. I said, well, I was. He says, well, I believe you. He says, only, you know what? You better come up with something better than that. He says, because when we go in there, he says, it's the best liar that wins in there. And that's the truth. They all
lie. Well, I'm going to tell you what the investigators that talked to me and Bill, and Bill said, well, are you guys going to interview Philip? And the guy looked over at me and he goes, we don't want that guy in the stand. He's a fucking loose cannon. Because I'd have told the truth.
I'd have told
the truth. You guys are all fucked up. You're doing shit that is bullshit, you know? I mean, I don't. Have you ever heard the opening to my show, Hermes?
No, I don't think I have.
Okay. Everybody, if you haven't heard this when I started it, because a lot of people came in late, I'm going to play this right now. You'll enjoy this. Listen to the words.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Less than 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on nature for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media. Just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say, fuck them. That's straight.
That's straight from my friend Mike P.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty original. I like that. That's very good. That's very good. Now, that's not the way you always open up your show, right? Is that recent?
No, that's been for almost a year now.
Oh, okay. All right. That's pretty good. That's good. But sorry to go off on a rant there, brother, on your show. But you know how I get. I get a little hot under the collar. And
you know why? Because we're here to get the message out. And if we offend somebody and they get pissed off, that means they're coming back to hear what you say again.
I hear that, brother. Yeah.
Well, guys, I'm going to bed.
What do you mean you're going to bed? Phil, did you give that lady permission to leave the show?
No, I didn't.
Well, she can't be going nowhere now. Right? She's going to wait until it's done.
Well, you know, all right, Eunice, stick around for a second because I'm going to enlighten you here real quick. Okay? Right now, in Australia, we have 1,631 people listening. In Canada, we have 1,396. In New Zealand, we have 408. In Germany, we have 237. In France, we have 203. In Russia, we have 204. In Sweden, we have 146. In the United Kingdom, Evil E's doing his job. We got 131 people. In India, we have 75.
75.
Thailand, we have. Russia, we have. No, I said Russia already. Spain, we have 111. Indonesia, we have 3.
Well, how about that?
You
I got
one
to offend somebody in every fucking country.
Hang on. We have 91. Taiwan, we have 133. In Sweden, we have 134. France, let's see. Australia, I said. The United States, we have 91,736. And we have our one guy from China. With Denmark, we have 5,338.
Wow.
If we have, and we got one guy in China, if they catch him, they'll kill him.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, check this out,
no,
Phil, real quick.
I just put
my YouTube page in there for the people in the chat room. I hope you don't mind, so they can check out that video. There's going to be, real quickly, because I'm going to be taking off. Your show's almost done anyway, so there'll be two more videos about this church, clergy abuse, sexual abuse, criminal activity. It's still ongoing, and it's right up to the Pope. Right up to the Pope. The Pope takes it up the ass. So listen, I'm going to be bringing you stuff. Check out that YouTube place.
I will.
YouTube.com, Mass Yank Fan. And for those of you that don't know, the Pope and his main man, his personal assistant, was busted for bringing in hired prostitutes, male prostitutes into the Vatican. That's a fact. All over the news, that's a fact. We'll be talking about that. Dirty White Redneck, his next show is Thursday night.
At 6
p.m. Dirty White Redneck, he's asking when your next show is, Phil.
It's going to be Thursday night at 6 p.m. Pacific and 9 p.m. Eastern. And for the Midwest. Yeah. And I got a news flash out of Australia right now. The right to remain silent is at risk under O'Farrell's legal crackdown.
Nice, huh? Nice,
wow.
Huh? What's it going to take, folks?
Exactly.
What's it going to take out there?
Bill, are you still with us?
Hello, my brother. I love you, man. Thank you for having me on tonight.
Where is it?
Hermes,
you're welcome to come
by there.
Next Tuesday, Hermes. We'll
all
pick
right,
this
I'll
up again
you,
next.
Brother.
All right.
I'll
I want
to you.
Thank
I'll
everybody for tuning in.
By the way, Phil, if you're around tomorrow night, we got the Janine and Lucinda, the psychic ladies, will be on tomorrow night in case you want to get on and get a reading out of them.
Well, you know, the last time I talked to Janine on your show, do you remember when she said I was going to be talked to by law enforcement?
Yes.
That's 2 weeks later when they came and talked to me and wanted to talk about something with me and Bill.
See that? She was on the money, huh?
She was on the money.
She'll be in the house tomorrow night, brother.
All right, I'm going to take us out with a little Mike P. This one's called One Percenter. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Like I said, we're on again Thursday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Midwest, it's probably around the same time. I'm not sure of the scheduling.
But
okay. And
good night, guys.
Good night. I encourage. Good night, Eunice. Good night, Jack.
Good night, Eunice.
Good night, Laura.
Good night, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Everybody for tuning in, and you're all welcome to come back Thursday.
Okay. Good night, guys.
Good night. This one's called 1% by Mike P, the big homie.
It's that Harley boy, Mike P. And they say I represent the 1% of the bad biker community. But I just represent free.